Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, September 23rd, 2010. It is now about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone, and during our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. I repeat, 646-652-4620. Send us email anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton, that's SUTTON-associates.net. In his biweekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryInvestorsCafe.com as well. Liberty Talk Radio is now available on iTunes. So stoke up your iTunes and download whichever one you want. We have most of our previous broadcasts on there, so please enjoy yourself and let us hear from you. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. There is just so much to talk about. I haven't ranted in some time because we've had some fabulous guests. Last week we had Andy Sutton talking about economic issues, and I actually called to apologize to him that I blab too much because I get so involved in the economy and what is going on, because that's basically what I do and I study, that I love to get broiled in conversations, and I spoke too much, and I had to call him to tell him I will keep my mouth shut. He did a fabulous job, as he always does, and what he is telling us, folks, is that what you see is not what you are going to get. In fact, if you look closely enough, you will start seeing what you will get, and you will not like it. That is the problem. People tend to avoid unpleasant trees. If there's something that's unpleasant, we tend to avoid it. When we avoid it, then we put it out of our minds, and it goes bye-bye. No longer has any relevance, and life goes on as normal. Folks, those are profound words that I just said. That should be broadcasted around the world. We get to accept our fate. And that's it. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing how we have absolutely lost our ability to think, our ability to converse, our ability to analyze, our ability to be rational. It is virtually gone. Now, I know many, many very intelligent people, a lot smarter than I am. I mean, well-read, educated, schooled, you name it. And they've worked much harder than I did. I just say hard. I don't like the word hard or harder. Hard is like a rock is hard. But they put a lot more effort into learning than I did. Unfortunately, they get stuck in this paradigm of I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican or I'm a this and I'm a that. And they cannot think their way out of it. And that really bothers me, especially, folks, the intellectuals of our world. And we've all know it. I mean, we've heard so many comments about, oh, so-and-so is this university, is a PhD in history, this and that, and he's a raging leftist and whatever. You know, we all hear that. And you say, how could that be? How could someone study the Constitution? How could someone study history? Not see what's going on and say, folks, Houston, we have a problem. Therein lies my problem. Last Friday night, my wife and I and a couple of friends went to see Lewis Black live in concert here in near Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I'm a big Lewis Black fan. Big, big Lewis Black fan. In fact, I had my picture taken with him. I bought his book. Although I had a copy, we bought another copy so I can get his autograph. The man speaks my language. Now, do I agree with him in politically? No, of course not. I don't know what he is politically. But, you know, what he does, and he does so eloquently and so effectively, is that he speaks what is on our minds. He says what we are thinking. He does some irrational rationalizations. The man is fantastic. He's brilliant. He used to be a writer, you know, screenwriter. Couldn't go into acting, wasn't good enough, so he decided to write. To write, you got to be pretty smart. I can't do it. I'm not that smart. I'm not. In fact, it always astounds me when people say, you know, Mr. Cristiano, you're a pretty bright guy. I'd like to talk to you. I go, no, you don't. What do you mean I don't? You don't want to talk to me? Why? I'm not smart. You're making me smart. I'm not. I'm going to tell you a story. You will not believe this. I would never tell the story if it were not true. If it were not true. Because it's so outlandish. Anyone listening to this would say, you know, that guy is blowing his own hole, blowing up his head, you know. You know, I can't stand this guy. And I can't stand me either. So I'm with you. I was speaking to a financial advisor to a major firm about my portfolio. He says, Mr. Cristiano, you're unbalanced. I says, no, I'm perfectly balanced. I have no problem with my balance. I said, I can't balance on one foot. I train every day to practice, but I'm not really good. He says, no, your portfolio is unbalanced. I said, what do you mean my portfolio is unbalanced? He says, at your age, I'm 67. By the way, folks, I'm 67 and a half years old, not 67. Don't forget that. And he said, at your age, whatever that's supposed to mean, he said, you should have 30% in cash and 20% in bonds and 50% in something like large cap dividend earning stocks and stuff like that. And maybe, I don't know, the numbers I could add up another 10% in foreign equities and whatever. I said, why? He says, well, it's your age. You should have that. I said, why? He says, you have to have a balanced portfolio. I said, well, why? Why wouldn't you have a balanced portfolio? He says, you're unbalanced. I said, I'm not dizzy. I'm fine. He said, no, you don't seem to understand. I said, well, no, you don't seem to understand. I said, I don't feel out of balance. He says, Mr. Crane, your age. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, well, you know, if something should happen to the market, you'll lose all your money. I said, so? I said, that's my problem, not yours. He said, well, I'm obligated to tell you. I said, obligated to tell me what? I'm unbalanced? He said, I want to speak to your boss. I want to get you fired. He said, no. I said, I'm only kidding you. I said, look, I'm perfectly balanced. I tell you, I know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? He says, no. I said, you know, if you or I knew what was going to happen tomorrow, I'll be honest with you, if you or I knew what was going to happen, just one day out of life, if we absolutely knew what was going to happen tomorrow, we would both be billionaires. Billionaires. You know why? We would buy options on that particular activity. If we knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, beyond, I mean, it was guaranteed. I mean, if the Almighty came down and said, here's the guarantee, this is exactly what will happen. If we knew a stock was going to go up 3 or 4 points tomorrow, we would beg, borrow, steal millions of dollars. Millions! Somehow we would get the money. We would buy options. We would buy so many options, we hock everything. And then it would go up 3 or whatever. We'd bet that's going to happen, you know, sell out. We'd make millions, maybe even billions of dollars the next day. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I said, right. I said, I'll be honest with you. I have no idea what's going to happen. I said, I don't even know if my wife's going to be here tomorrow. She said she loves me today. Don't know if she's going to love me tomorrow. Have no idea. I think she loves me today. She told me. Then she asked me for $10. I'm only kidding. She's the one that works. I'm retired. She makes a good salary. She never asked me for money. She can spend anything she wants. I'm only kidding. Girls, don't get excited. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I said, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I said, you know what? The only thing I do know is I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Now, how many of your clients, sir, can tell you that they know where they're going? He says, well, and the answer was very few. In other words, none. Absolutely none. Don't tell me few. None. None of them can tell you where they're going. I know where I'm going. He says, well, you're so sure, you're right. I said, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. I says, I know where I'm going. I get in my car and I get on Highway 44 going west. I'm going to Oklahoma City. There's no doubt about it. It's the only place that can go. I may not want to go there, but I know where I'm going. May not be the right place to go. I should be maybe in Joplin, Missouri, the opposite way. But I know where I'm going. You understand that? He goes, well, yeah, what are you telling me that for? I said, I know where I'm going. How many clients can tell you that? None. Be honest, probably none. Now, does that mean I'm going to the right place? No. I said, I know what I have. I know why I have it. I know where I'm going. I know I'm going with my investments. I'm fully diversified in my own feeble mind. Now, let's assume for a second everything goes to hell in a handbasket and I'm wrong. And I lose everything. That's not your problem. It's my problem. So why are you bugging me? He didn't know how to answer. He couldn't answer. I said, let me tell you why I'm diversified. The only thing I invest in is commodities. Only thing. Now I have a few other things from old days that I never sold. But 90% all commodities. I love mining stocks. You know why? Because I can see the stuff. It's not like this financial derivative crap that I can't see. J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Bank of America. Hate them. Hate them. I said, I want to go to a mining stocks site. I want to see one of these million-dollar earth-moving equipment machines moving big pieces of dirt, going in extractors, taking out copper, zinc, aluminum, all this other stuff. I know nothing about it. That's what I want to see. I want to touch it. I want to say I own the tire in the small car in the parking lot. That's what I own. I can see that. See, I know where I'm going. I'm perfectly diversified because I have mining stocks all over the world. If there's a mine somewhere in South Africa that goes under, that's one. But I have them in Russia, Kazakhstan, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Australia, United States, China, Canada, mostly in Canada, by the way. All over the world, I'm perfectly diversified. And then we talked about the economy. Now, hey, folks, this is what I started for. Because this is where I said, people don't think anymore. And not only that, but let me add something to that. People not only don't think, but they're not honest. The only truly honest person I think there is in this world is Don Imus. Oh, and I want to add somebody, Howard Stern. Don Imus and Howard Stern, two of the most honest people I know. I know of. You say, well, that's ridiculous. You're going nuts. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. I don't blame you. Am I going nuts? You're right, I'm going nuts. This world is driving me nuts. But why that? Because they're honest. Now, unless I'm being honest. I say, I know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Nobody can tell you that. They make all sorts of crap about that stuff. And Lewis Black, he's just terrific. He's absolutely terrific. He says, you know what the problem is? He says, there's two sides of this. He says, every time, he says, I never know what's going on. Oh, I didn't finish my story. No, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe the ending to this story. You're going to say, this guy is full of crap. This guy is garbage. I'm never going to say, he lies. I'm the only honest person you probably hear on radio. Only honest person you hear on the radio. Only one, folks. That has any ounce of logic, not brains, but logic in what he says. The guy says, do you mind, Mr. Cristiano, if I send you an email, and could you help me in investing? He says, you have a very unique thought process. And he says, maybe you can help me out. Now, here's the big financial advisor of a big firm emailing me, asking for me to be his financial advisor. Now, I know you're saying that, oh, I'm making that up. He's full of crap. You know, this guy's crazy. You know, he hasn't had his coffee this morning. He's nervous. He's having a caffeine fit. It's exactly what happened. Now, that is so outlandish, I would never say that if it wasn't true. I couldn't. I mean, if I say that, you know, like say, Heather Lockwood calls me every day. She loves me. She can't wait to stay. But hey, I'd be lying. I want it to happen. Heather, if you're out there, please call me. Believe me, I'll answer the phone before the first ring is over. And there's a million other actresses out there. I'll be honest with you. Actors. I can't call them actresses anymore. That's feminism stuff or whatever. You know, that out there, that absolutely luscious, gorgeous, sexy. I want them all. Every one of them. You say, well, Joe, how can we? You're not honest. You're a married man. No, I'm honest. I'm married. I love my wife. I love my wife to death. I love her. But she knows that. I'm in a restaurant. She says, hey. I said, sexy girls pass by. I go, honey, please, could I just once with her? She goes, no, dear. Just finish your salad. You never make me do anything. And then I get over it. But that's honest. None of this, I'm a married, happily married man. I don't look at other women, you know. You're lying. You're a liar. Don Imus is honest. Listen to his program in the morning. I mean, watch it. It's really funny. He argues with everybody, but no one gets angry. No one gets insulted or mad. It's amazing. I love watching it. Not because of the content. Content means nothing to me. Nothing. But I love listening to this guy. He goes, you know, you're a phony. Right out. And Howard Stern, my idol. My idol of honesty. People can't take them. All right? I was in school the other day. I went to a luncheon where the grandparents, and I can't stand that term grandparents because I can't believe I'm that old. I'm still 15. Damn it, I hate that. I'm telling you, it really bothers me. But I went there, and I'm in a bad mood because I'm a grandparent. I mean, not that I don't love my grandchild. Don't get me wrong. I just hate the fact that I'm that old. And, you know, there's all the teachers there online, and they're all like soldiers, you know. And you walk in there, everything is so structured. Everything, you won't believe. They're so structured, you wouldn't believe it. So I walk in, and I say, here I am. I said, listen, I'm here to see my grandchild. If you ever had to do a background investigation on me, and, you know, when I was in elementary school, you know, the court records are all wrong. I never did any of that stuff, you know. And they looked at me. I said, I'm only kidding, you know. Anyway, I sit down with my granddaughter. Everything is so structured. The teachers are strong. I'll tell you, her teacher came up to me. She said, oh, thank you so much for coming today. And her name, she had a Greek name. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't pronounce it. I mean, I should have. I mean, I'm stupid. I should have been. It was like Mokovitis or something like that. And I'm looking at it, and I said, I took off my hat. I stood up. I said, ma'am, I said, it's a real pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for having us here today. I was so pleasant. I was so pleasant, you wouldn't have recognized me. You said, that's not Cristiano. That's not the Cristiano I know. The one I know is a raving maniac. And I said, I must apologize, but I'm fearful that I will mispronounce your last name. So I said, I'll call you Miss M. She says, no, you won't. And I stood there, and I was literally blown back. I said, oh, okay. And then she instructed me on how to pronounce her last name. Now, don't get me wrong. It was very nice that she educated me, you know. But I'm 20 years older than this woman, you know. I'm apologizing that I'm afraid to pronounce her last name. She could have at least said, she said, thank you so much for trying. Miss M would be fine. But for your information, it's pronounced blah, blah, blah. But my point, I'm not mad. I mean, lovely woman, dedicated. Don't get me wrong. Don't go anywhere with this. My point is a structure. And what I love to do with grandchildren, with little kids, especially really little kids, five-year-olds, I do everything wrong. I am the worst example. I am the worst grandparent in the world. First of all, don't care for kids. I don't care. Not my kids. I had three kids, mistake. I mean, I love my kids. I speak to my sons every single day. If I don't call them every day or do something with them every day, they go, why didn't you call me today? What's the matter with you? Why, you're so damn busy again. I mean, give me a break. I mean, really, I'm that close with my boys. But, you know, I'm just not a grandfather. You know, I got to go over there every night and play bouncy ball or whatever they do. I don't know what they do. Don't care. I don't want to know. Don't send me emails saying, this is what you got to do. Oh, by the way, folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our call in number is 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Again, 646-652-4620. Anyone out there listening, please just give me a call. Tell me I'm nuts. I'll be happy. I love you to death. I'll send you first caller gets a T-shirt today. First caller gets a free T-shirt. No matter what you even say, hey, Joe, drop dead. I'll get to send you a T-shirt. Just send me an email with your T-shirt size and a mailing address. T-shirt's yours. And it's an expensive T-shirt. Beautiful Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt. So I sit there. Oh, by the way, our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. comments@libertytalkradio.com. Let me hear from you. comments@libertytalkradio.com. Now, so I get there and I break all the rules. First thing I do is I go, what time is this thing in? To my granddaughter. She goes, oh, you know, they put the lights on and off and then we know where to go. I go, good, I wouldn't go if I were you. Oh, no, you got to do that. And I said, no, you tell the teacher, you're busy. You got other things to do. You'll see her later. And she goes crazy. I mean, no, you can't do that, pop, pop. She calls me Papa. You know, Papa. Yep. Oh, something fell. What the hell fell? Something fell. Anyway. She says, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Oh, I'll get in trouble, blah, blah. No, you know. Everything. You understand? I'm there for about a half hour, and I'm telling her to do everything wrong, and she's correcting me all the way down the line. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want the kid to be mean or wrong or disobedient. My point is that they take these beautiful, beautiful children, and she's a beautiful child. I love her. Beautiful children with these fabulous imaginations and minds, and they destroy them. How you like that? They absolutely destroy them, and that's what bothers me. They take these beautiful minds, and they mold them to their likeness. And when I say their likeness, you know what I'm talking about? Don't think. Don't be clever. Don't think. Well, I hate this expression, out of the box. Don't push the envelope. Whatever that's supposed to mean. Push the envelope. Whoever thought of that stupid push the envelope. Whoever thought of that stupid statement. I want to meet that person. I want to kick him in the nuts or something. I push the envelope, you know. Oh, back of the envelope item. I love that one too. That guy's got to hang by his nuts also. Excuse me, I'm getting excited. So they take these kids and they have these schools. I don't call them schools. They're not schools. So don't kid yourself. We have no schools in the United States. There are no schools in the United States. Absolutely none. Not for kids. Now, there may be trade schools where you learn things like welding and stuff like that. Those are schools. That's a school, folks. If I want to go learn to weld, I know where to go. I go to school. If I want to learn about archaeology, I can go to school. But as a kid, you never go to school. You could only go to government indoctrination centers. GICs. That's all we have. Government indoctrination. We got to numb our kids and then mold their minds so that when you have a conversation with the likes of me, you get upset. Because you have belief systems that have been developed since you're a child that make absolutely no sense, but you cannot abandon. You see where I'm going, folks? You see where I'm going? You see the logic in that? That's what's scary. That's what's bothering me. So when people say, are you a liberal or Democrat, liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat? What do you mean? What do you mean what I mean? That's what you Democrats. What's a Democrat? Well, that's, you know, Democratic Party people. You know, you believe in their... What's that? I don't know. I said, well, what are you asking me for? That's being honest. Why are you asking me a stupid question? Like, I go up to somebody and say, by the way, are you a flubbadub? I want to know if you're a flubbadub. Conservative or liberal flubbadub? He goes, what's a flubbadub? I don't know. I have no idea what a flubbadub is. But are you one? I mean, it's the same damn stupid logic. I actually had a conversation with a guy. I just met a guy. We sat down with other people. And somebody had opened their mouth. They go, he's a libertarian. I wanted to smack this stupid son of a bitch. What do you mean? He's a libertarian. What the hell is that supposed to mean? I said, let me clarify that. I'm not a libertarian. I'm an anarchist. And I went, I said, and so are you, by the way. What do you mean? I'm not like, sure you are. No, man, I'm a conservative. I said, oh, you are. What's a conservative? He went, I don't know. And that's right. He said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? You said you're something. How can you be not? I don't know this guy. I met this guy 32 seconds ago, and I'm arguing in his face. I said, what do you mean you don't know? How could you not know? You just said you're a conservative. If I say I'm an anarchist, I know why I'm an anarchist. Because I believe that I can do for myself better than the government can do for myself. And I want to be left alone. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. That's an anarchist. And you want to know something? So are you. Because you don't want anyone to tell you what to do. But you want to tell other people what to do. That's your problem. That's what you are. You want to tell other people what the hell to do. So you go to the government and you force have the government force other people to do what you want to do. But you don't want it imposed on yourself. I said, you're the lousiest type of anarchist there is. Guy went crazy. Guy went absolutely, absolutely nuts. And we develop these belief systems in school that evolve for years. I can have a conversation. I am helping this one gal. Her name is Angela O'Dell. She is running for U.S. Congress, state of Oklahoma, 1st Congressional District, against John Sullivan. There is no Democrat running, only John Sullivan, Republican. John Sullivan has no mind, absolutely none. It was removed when he was young. He has absolutely no mind. He walks around, and he's like a cardboard figurehead. You ask him a question, he just looks at you, and a tape recorder comes on. And the Republican Party, the conservative wing, the Republican Party, loads up the tape every day, and then he goes, ba 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 ba. And really, he sounds like that. He knows nothing. He has no brains. It's empty. If he ever falls, there'll be no blood coming out of his head. If he ever hits his head, there'll be no blood. It'll crack. A tape recorder will come out. That's how bad this guy is. But everyone votes for him. You know what? He's a conservative. You say, fine, what's a conservative? I don't know. Well, how can you be so stupid? But then they're aghast if I say, I'm an anarchist. The reason why I say I'm an anarchist is if I say I'm a libertarian, they have no idea what that means. And they say, oh, you're a libertarian. What do you like to do? Have sex with pigs? I mean, they have no idea what that means. Absolutely none. They're nuts. And they think they're the cornerstone of society. They're middle class, hardworking men. They're not hardworking. They don't do shit. They don't do anything. They collect a paycheck. They wouldn't know how to make money if they had to. So I tell Angela, don't ever tell anyone. When you get up there and debate, and she debates this thing, she got to go to these debates or whatever. She's done pretty well. I said, do not say you're a libertarian. Just say, I'm a nothing. I'm nothing. What I want to be is, I want to be me. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. I feel that I can do for myself better than the government can. And I bet you everyone else feels the same way. If you do feel that way, you vote for me. It's plain and simple. Don't say, I'm a libertarian and the libertarian principles. People can't think. Their minds go mush. They can't. It turns into Russian. They have Chinese symbols in their heads when you try to explain it to them. And the first thing that takes over is their belief system. Because they've been indoctrinated by the government indoctrination centers all their life. And what happens is that they take their mind and their minds go nutty and they go, oh, I don't care what she's saying. I'm going to reinterpret this and say to myself what I believe. And so to hell with her. I don't care if she's up there. And that's the way we are. And that's the way it is. It's right up 7 o'clock Central Time on the hour. My name is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host. unfortunately. 646-652-4620. We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe. This is Adam in Atlanta.
Well, Adam, how are you? Thank you for calling in. Thank you very, very much. How is Atlanta today?
Well, it's great. You know, they say that the early bird catches the worm, but then look what the early worm gets.
You poor guy. Hey, listen, you are listening early in the morning. Well, I guess it's 8 o'clock there, is it not?
Right, it's just 8 a.m., and I'm a morning person, so I enjoy the morning time. I'm not really a late-night person.
Well, I hope you're enjoying the show.
I did want to comment. What's that? I'm sorry?
I hope you're enjoying the show.
Oh, I enjoy it, especially when you start ranting. I think you could go the full 3 hours, and you could probably do it 5 days a week, and it wouldn't get tiring to me anyway.
You want to kill
me. You mentioned the government school system.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let you know that I was at a screening of a new documentary film that's coming out called Waiting for Superman. I don't know if you've heard of it.
No. No, I have not.
But the film is about the government school system, and its director and co-writer, David Guggenheim, who you may remember as the director of Al Gore's little film, An Inconvenient Truth, and
He
also wrote Obama's 30-minute infomercial during his campaign.
Yeah.
Was there at the screening to answer questions during a Q&A session following the film.
Right.
Well, the problem with the film is it more or less suggests government answers to government problems. There's no mention of homeschooling. There's hardly a mention of private schools. Although Mr. Guggenheim was truthful, I admire this, that his own children won't go to government schools. They go to private schools, of course. He did admit his ties to the Democrat Party, which is fairly obvious. But I thought that he did take the teachers' unions to task, which I admire them for, because that's one of the biggest problems that government schools have are the totalitarian teachers' unions.
Right.
And but I thought that one of the most fascinating things that he said was afterwards, while he was speaking to a couple of people in the aisle, he started to claim that the United States Post Office has improved as a result of Federal Express. So I thought this man is misguided because, of course, Federal Express might have compelled the U.S. Post Office to offer next-day delivery.
Right.
But the Post Office still has a monopoly on first-class mail.
Right.
And of course, you know, well as I do, the Post Office is no more efficient or customer-oriented because Federal Express came into existence. It doesn't have to be because it's a government agency.
Right.
And the thing about the post office is it can operate in the red. It just lost $3.5 billion in the third quarter of 2010.
Right.
Where Federal Express turned out a little bit of a profit.
Right.
So I don't know what point he was trying to make, but when people like this make documentaries and the people in the audience just eat it up, like you say, they don't think. They don't use their mind and say, wait a minute, how government is controlling the schools, how is government going to fix it?
Okay.
The schools don't need more money. They need competition.
Right, now here's the way I would have answered him. I would have said, when he said government is only good at solving government problems, my answer would have been, you jerk, you raving idiot, you mindless boob, and I'm going to stay respectful for a minute, and I won't tell you what else I think of you. is that the government doesn't have any problems. The government only creates them. This conversation is over. You know, it's like I create a problem, well, and I'm the only one that can solve it. Well, get rid of me, we won't have a problem. That's true, you know. I go around beating up people for no reason at all, you know, and I'm the one that solves the problem. I'm the only one that solves the problem. I got to stop beating up people. That's what I do. I beat up people. You know, I steal things from them. So I'm the one that's got to solve the problem. So you got to pay me now. Adam, I want you to send money to me, because if you don't send money to me, I'm going to take the money from my next-door neighbor. And if you don't send me the money, you're a heartless, no-good capitalist. Is that not what we're doing? Adam,
right.
That's what we do. I just said, this conversation is over. There's nothing more to discuss. When you have a brain transplant and you have one that works, let's talk again. I mean, I love the problem we have, Adam, is that people make certain assumptions. You know, they the foundation for what they say. They say, since this and that, thus, like the war, they go, since the terrorists want to kill us, you know, want to do something to us, this is what we have to do. Wait a minute. They don't want to do that. We force them, you know, we make the false assumption, and then we base all of our conclusions and all of our actions based on a stupid false assumption. And no, NPR radio is great at that. Absolutely great. I got to tell you one thing I heard. They were talking about the right of free speech. And I forgot what the issue was. She says, but you have the right. Oh, the mosque thing it was, you know. She says, we understand they have the right of free speech and freedom of religion, but they don't. The Constitution does not reserve the right. This is a woman on major TV, I think. It's either NPR radio or major TV. The Constitution does not provide you with the right to hurt other people's feelings. Quote, the Constitution does not provide you the right to hurt other people's feelings, thus the mosque shouldn't be built. Now, there's a whole bunch of other people in the room, all stupidly mindless, you know. Not one person like a Howard Stern, you know, or a Don Imus, somebody, or a Lewis Black saying, what do you mean? And they just stood there, and their silence was complicity, and it drove me nuts. I went around screaming all day long. My wife says, please, would you just lock yourself in a closet? I can't stand you anymore. Why my wife stays married to me is beyond me. It drives me nuts. You know, when people
say... Well, let me ask you, if your experience is like mine, where when you go to a political event, you're part of the audience, are you the lone libertarian as I am?
I don't go to political events. I don't. I can't. I can't do it. I'll have a heart attack. I cannot do it.
Any civic event or any function that may have politics as a theme.
Well, typically I am not.
I find myself the only voice of reason.
Oh no, yeah. I mean, typically I'll know a couple of people, but if there are, let's say, 75 people there, you know, there may be one or two other libertarian, you know, free thinkers there. Everybody else is mush. Everybody else. And I avoid them like the plague. I go, why? I mean, my blood pressure is not good. I'm going to go there. I'm going to get a heart attack to listen to this jerk. And they all sound so good, so benevolent. They want to do something. They want to help the children, and they want to help this. Then send them a damn check. Don't send them my check. I don't want to send them a check because I don't trust the organization. I used to give lots of money. Not lots of money, but I used to give good support money to the Alzheimer's Association. My mother died from it. 10 years she was in that stupid state. And I used to get their brochures every month. I used to give money every month. Every month I gave them money. They loved me. They sent me stuff 3-4 times a month, 5 times a month, 6 times a month. And one day I saw this financial statement. The CEO of the Alzheimer's Association made $600,000 a year, $600,000, plus a bonus of $120,000, plus expenses. He made about $1 million. So I call him. I said, what's the CEO making $1 million for? He says, well, it's a big organization, and we need the best. I said, what do you mean by that? I said, you're a charity. She says, I know. I said, you're not selling a product. You're leaning on the people like me who have someone who has Alzheimer's and feels it's a terrible disease, and we send you money. We're not buying anything. We get nothing. I get nothing from you. She says, yes, but, you know, if we don't hire the best, we won't have the money to... I said, you haven't cured the disease yet. She says, but we have to pay for the best. I said, ma'am, it's a charity. He works for nothing. It's a charity. And I hung up, and I never gave a dime after that. Well, so, you know, I'm on the wrong page. Adam, I'm on the wrong page with everybody. So that's why I scream on the radio.
Well, take heart. The good things are beginning to change, albeit slowly. But there is a new awareness, I think. I think we've hit on a libertarian renaissance period in America, or at least I hope we have.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my 10-second take on that. The only time that there'll be a change, a real change, is when people take to the streets. Before that, you can kiss it off. That's the only time in history that things have radically changed. I don't care to take the French Revolution. Go back 4,000 years in history. The only time is when the people finally take pitchforks, get out into the streets, and that's it. And say, ball game is over. But before that, it's all rhetoric, and we're all going to get screwed. Every one of us. Now, things will get a little bit better. They'll do this. You know, they'll have cap and trade, but they'll take off Article 4, subsection VII, and change that to 60% rather than 70%. That's the only thing that'll happen. Only thing that'll happen. And then they'll say, we've made changes in your favor. We heard the voices of the people. No, the only time you heard that, hang the son of a bitch. Then they can hear the voice of the people. It's unfortunate. The only time we'll have change is when we take to the streets. And I don't think that's ever going
to
happen.
How bad do you think that things have to get before people take to the streets?
I don't know. You know what? I think when the government decides to devalue the dollar, when they go, oh, we can't pay for this, $100 trillion. I thought we had the $100 trillion. Hey, Bobby, where'd it go? Oh, gee, we don't have it. Oh, by the way, the $1,000 you have in your bank, we're going to give you new dollars. Now you only have $100 in the bank. In the streets. Then we're going to take to the streets. Now, if that day ever comes, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Now, Adam, I hate to tell you this. I got 2 minutes to go. And I only had 45 minutes bandwidth on this thing. But I love you calling.
I appreciate you letting me on the air.
Oh, no. Believe me. I love you to death. I'm happy that you called. I'm so pleased that you called. It's great to have a break. It's great to have you call every time, please. I wish I had something to send you, okay? So just stay in touch.
It's always
my
pleasure.
Much. All right. Thank you so much. And have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jeff.
Boy, that was awfully nice having a caller from Atlanta this early in the morning. Well, folks, I didn't talk about much of a lot of what I wanted to talk about, and here we are. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap up this section right now. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. Responsibility and risk! We don't have that anymore, do we? Now let the government do it. Government problems. The government is like training wheels. They control your ride and your every move. And folks, that's exactly where we're going. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.